Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Pod of Rock, eurem Podcast-Magazin rund um Metal, Rock und allem drumherum. Präsentiert von EMP. Wir drehen den Verstärker für euch auf 11 und zwar jede Woche. Und jetzt viel Spaß mit einer neuen Episode Pod of Rock und eurem Host Josef Lex.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Heute habe ich, euer Lieblings-Josef, mal wieder jemanden zu Gast. Die Winterpause, der Winterschlaf ist rum. Wir starten wieder volle Möhre rein und jetzt gibt's jemanden, der euch die Seele massiert und meine Seele gleich mit. Jemand, der den rhythmischen Background schafft für all eure Albträume. Der Schlagzeuger von Katatonia. Hier ist Daniel Moilanen. Hello there.
Hi.
Great to have you on the show. So, I'm absolutely stoked. New Katatonia album, new tour is in the works. That is coming to you, I believe, over the course of 2025. Just to start things off at the exact right position, can you tell me a little bit about the new album Nightmares as extensions of the Waking State?
It's our latest album, but for some reason it doesn't sound like our latest album for me personally. I think it sounds more like, I wouldn't say old Katatonia, but older than it has for the past couple of albums at least. So it's a darker side of us. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's easier for us in the band to talk about the album in those terms, because obviously it's a new Katatonia album. It's a modern sound. It's more of the progressive dark rock than that we've been doing for our past couple of albums. But I think it's looking back to our past in a way that we haven't for a while.
What I find particularly interesting about the album is, of course, the title. I have watched like 20 other interviews with 20 other interviewers over the course of the history of Katatonia, and I watched one where one of your band members was in a conversation with the interviewer about your audience, and he called them dreamers. Because usually, as for the people that are not particularly familiar with Katatonia and are only listening to this podcast because of my beautiful voice, Katatonia is a band that is not particularly aggressive in their approach to the music, but has a more melancholic vibe. And when I was at a Katatonia show, like I'm trying not to lie here, about 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, I have seen a very interesting behavior pattern within the audience that is mirrored by the word dreamer very well, because where at other shows you see the people mosh and be very aggressive, the Katatonia audience is in a state of like meditation almost. So how does the nightmare title, the nightmare part of the album title, go with the dreamer audience?
I would hope it goes by very well. I mean, as you said, we're not a very aggressive band. We're not a very heavy in heavy music kind of sense. I would almost categorize our sound as being subconsciously affecting our audience instead of us pushing the aggressive parts or double kicks or guitar solos or moshing riffs. We can do that musically, but the crowd will almost always more subconsciously feel that, and they're feeling our music in a way more than only hearing it. And I hope that darkness from the new album, and the introvert feeling of it translates well into the audience, because the title is it's solely for us. It's about Jonah's dreams and nightmares and past visions, and I think the title translates to the sound of the songs, the production of the album. I think it incorporates the new material very well. As I said, I think the new album is the darkest one yet. I think it's very introvert. It is still progressive and brooding and atmospheric and all that. It has riffs and solos, but I think it's very difficult to get a immediate hit song vibe from. I think it's very, very brooding in that sense. You need more time with it, for good or worse. I don't know.
Also, not being only melancholic and more brooding, it's also an album that comes with, I would like to call this a trademark complex musical complexity. I always wanted to ask one of you guys, is the level of complexity within the music a translation of the complexity of human emotion? Is that a thing that you're trying to convey over the course of your history as a band, of course, not only with the last album?
I think it's a nice thought. I think the musical complexity is more or less down to how we want to elaborate on certain themes. I think from the entire discography, from the first album to the last, I think Catatonia has always been the same type of band, not specifically musically. I think the first album is obviously more black metal tinged, more doom metal, and throughout the discography more alternative, and then later on progressive. I think the core of the band's music, the atmosphere, is still there. The reason that it's more progressive today, I think it's just the progression of the band. It's obviously technical capabilities. When the guys did Tonight's Decision, they weren't really there in their technical capabilities to play something like we would have done on the new album. But it's not only down to technical ability either. I think when Jonas, who currently writes all the music, I think when he writes music, he wants to make it interesting for the audience and make it interesting for ourselves as musicians as well. And being able to play stuff helps, but I don't really see us as a progressive band in that sense. We're not writing progressive music for the sake of it. I think it's a nice thought to have the complexity of the music mirror the complexity of the emotions that we try to communicate through our music. But I really just think that it's down to us being bored as musicians and trying to make something that we enjoy doing. There's nothing wrong in playing songs like Saw You Drown in a 90-minute set. But if we can do other stuff as well to keep our attention alive and keep the audience's dreaming attention alive as well, why not?
The feeling of boredom that you just mentioned is a very, very interesting thing within the concept of growing as a musician. And the next one will be probably a bit more of a funnier question. Is there anything in day-to-day life that bores you so much it inspires you to make music?
Standing still in whatever I do in life inspires me to progress what I can do. I'm lucky enough to live a life as a musician. I don't have a day job, so to say. I can fill my waking hours with culture. I can fill them with music, with literature, with movies, and with walks in nature. I'm lucky enough to be able to experience all that without it infringing on my financial status. I think I would be more inspired, maybe, but maybe more mentally challenged to create music if I did have a regular job, depending on a job, of course. But just in my current position, standing still and not being able to evolve anything that I'm doing, that bores me to death. And most times it inspires me to do something else.
The next segue is also very, very, I think, a very good one. When walking through nature, have you ever observed or ever heard a sound, a feeling that you try to incorporate into your music? And is there any of that on the new album?
I sometimes feel, see, and hear something that will, in my mind, translate to some sort of abstract percussive concept. Mostly when I'm reading or when I'm out in nature, it doesn't necessarily translate into something musical, but hearing a bunch of birds will wake some sort of rhythmic idea in my mind. It's usually more interesting in my head than when I try to translate it into actual music. When I'm out in nature, I try to go out without listening to anything, just trying to hear what's in the woods. And it sounds like a cliche, but if you talk with bands from, especially bands in the darker extreme metal genres from the Nordic countries, Sweden, Finland, Norway, and read interviews from the early to mid 90s with bands like Darkthrone and Emperor and Dissection and stuff like that, if the nature theme of walking in nature and feeling and being inspired, it sounds like a cliche, but it's really not. We're very lucky to have that nature and have clean air to be out in. And maybe it's not just being inspired by trees and birds, but just having a clear head helps. So I guess yes and no, a long answer.
I love these kinds of more emotional answers very, very much regarding these questions. That's why I'm asking them. So no answer is too long for that kind of question, I guess. Katatonia has a very, very loyal fan base constructed over the years. What are the takeaways from the new album? What will surprise the listener, or is that even something we can talk about that right now?
I think people, when hearing the album, I think they'll hear Katatonia, and either they are excited for more of the what we could call the modern Katatonia sound, the more progressively tinged sound. Either they're more excited for that, or they want more of the older stuff. I mean, people are still wanting us to go back to our roots. I understand that in a way. I also kind of don't. Those albums will never go away. They're still there. There's no use in us doing a second Dance of December Souls or a second Last Verdeal Going Down. Those albums exist in our past, and I am still influenced by those albums when creating music and making music of my own that's not Catatonia related. So I guess it's what you're expecting. If you're expecting more of the new modern Catatonia sound, you won't be disappointed. If you're expecting For Funerals to Come Part 2, go listen to something else. It's fine. We're not for everyone.
When did that album come out? The Funerals to Come, that's like
95, 96?
Something like that. I'm 95, that's 30 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And that's also a thing with people wanting us to go back to our roots. The thing with playing live and creating setlist today is it's likely the most difficult task of being in a band with this big of a discography. If we would have two albums under our belt, we would have played those. We have, 13 albums, and we're going to tour for the new album. It's going to be tricky, man. It's difficult to create set lists to appease everyone, and even to appease ourselves. We want to play songs that we've never played, but since we've never played them, no one's going to know them because they've never heard them live. And so that's going to be an evil circle as well. No one liked that song the first time we played it, so let's never play that again, and no one will ever hear. It's difficult.
Is there a song that you are lamenting leaving on the set list chopping block in particular?
There is, actually. We did a couple of sets, was it 2 years ago, when we played Dead and Kings in its entirety. And we were actually rehearsing playing Second, one of the bonus tracks of the album. And I think we even played it on soundcheck for one of the shows and realized that we're not really there yet, so let's just leave it off. And it's one of those, if we didn't play it at the anniversary show, will we ever? I don't know, man. But we did actually rehearse it almost until showtime, so that's a bummer.
Looking ahead into the future of the band, like in 5 years, that's like the HR question that people usually don't have when they are artists, but when they are in an HR meeting. Since the evolution of Catatonia entailed so many little turning gears on different places, what is the evolutionary leap that you see for the band within 5 years, in the next 5 years?
That's so difficult because we're also reaching personal ages of people in the band. Jonas is turning 50 this year, and in 5 years' time, we might be two albums in. It might not be the second album, but it might be the album after that. And since we're constantly inspired by what we're doing currently, but also what we have done, I think having two new guitarists in the band, Nico and Sebastian, who are very different in their approach. Sebastian is younger. He is, 30 years younger than Nico. So him coming in with his playing style and his musical inspirational stuff, I think that'll inspire Jonas in one direction. And then Nico, being he's an older player, he's a older rock guitarist, hard rock guitarist, heavy metal guitarist, that could influence Jonas in one direction. But generally, I think that I hope that we continue both scaling up and scaling down. I enjoy playing technical stuff. I'm fairly good at it. I think it's funny. I think it's silly. I think it's interesting to learn tricky stuff. But I also don't want that to be the core of the sound. I would rather try to push that even further and mix that with having a more scaled down sound. For example, it could sound like this album mixed with Today's Decision or Discouraged Ones. Easier song structures, but with more finicky parts to play. I have no idea. I'm not a songwriter. I'm not a producer. I'm just a player, man. But something like that. I mean, best of both worlds, I guess.
I only got one question left, and that is there anything you've always wanted to talk about within an interview, but you've never had the chance or opportunity to?
There is. And since I've never done it, I'm not prepared to do it here either. But I would love at some point in the future, I'm not going to put you on the spot, talk about literature.
Oh, literature. I have a very narrow field of literature I'm interested in. That's, for one thing, it's horror literature, from thinking of Clive Barker. And the other thing is old school Renaissance Dungeons and Dragons rule books. So probably I'm not the ideal partner to talk.
I'm always keen for new horror literature. I've currently delved into some sort of weird sci-fi, but I read whatever I get my hands on. I enjoy reading. So if any of your listeners have any book recommendations, just let me know.
and let also me know if it's horror literature or old school role-playing game books.
Exactly.
Do you have a tip for the listeners what they should read next?
Oh, I do actually. I might have a tip for you as well. David Sodergren, horror writer from the US, I think.
David Sodergren?
Sodergren. Sodergren. He wrote a book called Maggot Grave and one called The Forgotten Island. Both are very, very good.
Maggie's Grave.
Yeah.
The cover screams I definitely should buy that thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. David Sodergren, Maggie's Grave. Well, Daniel, it's been amazing to have you on the show. It's been amazing to talk to you. I hope you had fun as well. You out there, take care of each other, take care of yourselves, and most importantly, rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Das war Pod of Rock, euer Podcast-Magazin rund um Metal, Rock und allem drumherum. Präsentiert von EMP. Und für Musik auf den Augen, werft doch einen akustisch formulierten Blick auf emp.de. Mit dem Code PODOFROCK erhaltet ihr satte Rabatte auf eure EMP-Bestellung und unterstützt so unseren Podcast.